greatest resource we have is God. We ought to use Him more than we do. What a blessing that we can go to Him and find refuge for our soul. We need it more than we'll ever imagine and know. May the Lord bless His word today and help us worship Him through His word. I ask you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. Hasten to our ring, Lord bless you. Chapter 32. Here's an Old Testament episode that Jacob had, I know you're all familiar with. We pray the Holy Spirit will bless us to have a lesson from it here today. I'm going to begin reading at verse 24, but I want to cite that Jacob has already prayed a prayer beginning at verse 9 through 12 to God. We're talking about confession. Prayer is one of those means of expressing our confession. Verse 24, verse chapter 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel did eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. There's certainly a lot in this part of Scripture. One of the things I want to make sure is that we understand Jacob is a figure of every child of God. We find Romans 9, as you know, Jacob and Esau, and here's your confrontation right here, and this is what building this up. Jacob is a figure of election. Remember, Jacob, God said, "Have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Not that he did anything good or was any better than anybody else, it's just God decided to love him and choose him, just like he did you. In fact, if you look at the life of Jacob, you would say, "Good gracious, how in the world would God pick him instead of Esau?" Seems like Esau did a lot better to me anyway than Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. You remember his mother enticed him to fool his daddy Isaac in thinking he was Esau so he'd give him the blessing. And he did that. Well, that sin haunted Jacob, though God obviously had a reason for in allowing it, though God is never the author of sin. He does, though, bring temptation before us in ways lots of times we'd rather not have to deal with. But anyway, it comes to home. You know, the chickens always come to roost, the Scripture says. I mean, now he's got to deal with it. There may be some sin in your life that you just hadn't got it dealing with yet. What I want to mention to you is, and make you aware of, that may be a very big effect on how you're living your life. Are you enjoying God? How is your relationship to God today, right now, okay? See, we're living in a world of tolerance in our world today, and God is not a tolerant God. He is faithful, He's just, but He's very, very holy. Holy, 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 the Scripture says. But now Jacob has to deal with Esau. He's afraid of him because Esau has been blessed of God. He's got a lot more than Jacob in a way. So now they're going to meet. Jacob had to leave Laban, his father-in-law, you know, and he's come now and with all the things God's blessed him with, But he's got to face his past, and so do we. And the quicker we do that, and we do it under the auspices of Christ, of the Spirit of God, then we'll be a lot better off. The freedom that we have in Christ will be more appreciated and lived victoriously, so to speak. But Jacob was left alone. I noticed from that first verse, that's what I want to say. In the verses between Jacob's prayer and this one I started, you will find Jacob's plan again. He schemed again to, he was going to kind of buy Esau. He was going to give him presents and all that. Just going back to his old ways. I think one of the things that we struggle with, I know I do, I bet lots of you do too, is lots of times in our confession, in our prayer, we pray prayers and we still struggle. We cast our burdens upon the Lord, but we still take them with us. And I think here's what we have to deal with. We have to deal with the temptations that we face, and we have pleasures, and there are lots of them, and we still have this sinful nature. See, Jacob, as we see here, he's got two natures revealed. One is Jacob, and that's how grace found him. And now his name's changed because of this encounter with God, and that's how what grace does to us. But he still has that sinew in his thigh. His thigh, it shrank. It didn't go away. He still has a carnal flesh, he still has, but he's also a spirit man. That's how you and I are. I'll get to that more in a minute. Because I'm talking today about what I've entitled Combat Confession. I don't know where that come from. It just come to my mind because I think that we need to understand that we are in the fight of our lives. When we talk about, if you're talking about following Jesus Christ, if you're talking about appreciating God's goodness and grace, you will have to struggle. God usually takes his people a long way around. Now we see Jacob wrestling here. Jacob's not wrestling with the man. The man's wrestling with Jacob. See, God's the one that picks the fights. See, God's the initiator. And so God might be riding you or burdening you with about something. You just need to let him have his way. See, what God is doing in our lives is bringing us to the point that all we can do is cling to him. That's what Jacob does. I mean, there's this measure of humanism and even in religion that says God helps those that help themselves. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. I haven't been able to find it. What God does is help those who can't help themselves. But how it is, God gets us to the point where we can't help ourselves. Now, what I'm talking about is combat confession. Or what is confession? Confession is agreeing with God. I mean, it's submissive to God. That is a struggle that we have to deal with. Now, sure, we have minds of ways to do it. We have those high moments in life, and everything's kind of hunky-dory and we're good. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some valleys you and I got to go through. And so when that happens, what do you deal with it? So then why all this struggle? First of all, when I think about combat, that's the fight. And I got that. I think about scriptures. You know, we're called to be good soldiers of the Lord. We hear scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Okay? We hear self-control, don't we? Self-control. We hear this mentality of understanding that we have armor. We have spiritual armor. Well, that is not for nothing. Now, here's the deal. We got to understand that the devil is still around. Now, we heard a song about Christ's victory, and that is so true. Then why in the world do we have to deal with any kind of battle? Because there's an immense spiritual guerrilla warfare going around. You have a battle going in your heart. And you need to understand that God has put that fight in you, okay? And so here's the thing I wanted to say. First of all, I want to think about we got to be combat ready. Combat ready. Did you know that's what grace does for you? It makes you combat ready. Turn with me to 1 John with me, to 1 John chapter 1. I think that's all we'll need to deal with that. 1 John chapter 1. We visited this a little bit last week when we started this series of Confession is good for the soul, and it surely is. We need to do more of it. And you know, I suppose this, I'll just go ahead and say this. I almost did it last week. Anytime you want to come down this altar and confess and just, you're not saying anything, you just want to kneel or what, then you do it. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to do it. You don't have to make a show out of it. Because most likely, if you're not confessing in your home, it's going to do you a little good to do it in church. What I'm trying to say is, it is about the reality of how you and God are getting along. Do not waste your life with some sort of a unconfessed sin or some bitterness you have because you don't like the way God's providence has shaped in your life and you don't like the hand God's dealt you. What we need to do is be thankful for all things. When is the last time we have thanked God for your problems? You hear me? I mean, thank you. I was laying there on the bed this morning, I said, thank you, God, that Penny is having to deal with all this and I'm having to be able to, so I have the privilege to help her. I mean, you got to understand, and that is not about feeling, it's about making up your mind that God is God and you are not. And my goodness, if we're going to heaven, and we are by God's grace and mercy, you know, the thing is, God doesn't save us and just put us right in heaven. No. You know how we get there? We have to understand we have two things primarily to get us along this course of life. One is confession. I'm not talking about a one-time deal. I'm talking about a daily venue of confessing. And then the other is faith. And they're the wings. It kind of reminds me of the robins that I see in my backyard. And we have the house cats, those barn cats that'll be out there prowling, and those robins will be chirping around like they don't have a worry in the world, all around them. You know what they do? They have wings. Anytime those cats get close, they just fly. That's what a Christian is about. We wing our way to God. That's how you get through your life. Confession and faith. We live by faith. And faith and confession are the very wings that propel us. But we got to have a combat mentality. What did I ask you to do? 1 John, didn't I? Let's look at this. In 1 John chapter 1, we see in verse 8 these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now wait a minute. I said this. If Christ has died for our sins and our sin debt is paid in full, then in the world we got sins. See, and look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So here's the mentality that I think the scripture is calling us to have as good soldiers of the Lord. See, the church is not a social club. The church, the local church, is an army barracks, okay? Preparing us for the battle, for the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. Whether we like it or not, we're in it, okay? And there's a fight. And don't lose the fight. David said when he saw Goliath, look, there's a cause. Is there not a cause? Well, here's the thing. What God does, if God's completed our salvation, and he has. Our sin debt has been completely full, paid in debt, in full. All right, why do we confess our sins? The reason is every Christian, if you have been born of God, now listen to me, you have been given a trait of the Holy Spirit, and that trait is that you hate sin. So we're called to confess and kill our sin. That's why the apostle talks about crucifying the flesh. That's why the scriptures teach about these inordinate affections, how we're to kill these things in our life. See, that's a combat mentality that we need to understand is right from God And we have let this culture we live in kind of shape us and mold us. And say, well, wait a minute, now you got to be more tolerant of that. And it's got us in a mess. And it will get us further there. See, here's why. See, there's no easy while salvation is easy. There's no easiness in God's in denying yourself and following Jesus. Now, God gives you the mentality that you hate sin, don't you? You do. Then why do we struggle with it? So well, I said this a while ago. I started. I didn't finish it. So we have these pleasures. So we get involved in them, and we get involved in sin, and then we feel so bad about it. We confess them, and we feel forgiven. And then there's even brief moments we feel the victory that is in Jesus. And then not so long yet, we get right back in it. You ever struggle with the same sin? You're in good company. See, Satan knows our weaknesses. So don't quit. Now, what I'm saying is you got to keep fighting this stuff. You got to keep understanding that God has provided for us through Christ everything we need already. So what we have to have is the mentality to embrace that and believe that. See, sin is a bondage. See, and we're not to live under the bondage of sin. We're to have the freedom in Christ that he's given us. But see, there is a struggle. So you say, well, why is there so much temptation? Okay, if God is sovereign, he can just deal away with the devil. He sure could. Or why don't he just take my evil desires away, my sinful nature? He could, but he doesn't. Well, why don't he just rearrange my schedule where I'm not confronted with all this? He could do that. But he leaves them there. You know why? Because temptation leads to the confession that God knows that we need to see, and it proves that we love him. It proves that he is powerful and that his glory shines forth in our lives. And by the way, it shapes our character too. That's why your struggles are really the thing that God uses in your life and mine to make us more Christ-like. Why even Jesus, the scripture says in Hebrews, learned obedience through suffering. Isn't that amazing? So there's a combat mentality. See, the devil is like a roaring lion. He wants to take you under. He will devour your life. And so what are you going to do? You let me have his way? What are you going to do? Well, we're to trust God. We're to believe God. We're to trust him, that faith. And we're to confess to God like Jacob. We need you, Lord, so much. And we have really nowhere else to go. But it takes struggles to get us that way. You know, in our life, if it was just all smooth going, you know, we'd forget God. You get out on the interstate, and you get out there, you just put it in cruise control, and there's not a whole lot of places to get off. I mean, you just go. And that's how people live our lives sometimes. I remember one time years ago, I was pastor here, I remember, and one of the members was having surgery at St. Joseph Hospital. So I go down I-16, get on I-95, and was going to cut over there on Abercorn or somewhere. And anyway, I don't know what happened, but next thing I knew, I forgot where I was. I mean, I know I'm getting older, and I probably have more of those. I was somewhere on I-95, and I had missed the exit, and I just kept riding. And that's how life can get sometimes. Have you missed the exit? You know, I mean, sometimes we do. But I turned around, I gathered myself, and thankfully I got there in time for the surgery. But, man, that was shocking to me. But that's how it is. See, what happens in our life, if we don't confess our sins, if we don't deal with these things, and they're hard to deal with because sin grows in clusters. See, you take things that maybe... And I'm just trying to be honest with you, because I can be honest with me. The things that we have are usually because of something else that's going on in your life. For example, I read this story where this man got fired from his job because he was always late for work. Well, it turns out, 2 or 3 weeks later, they find out the man's having an affair with some woman. You see what I'm saying? It grows. I mean, there's something. People say, well, what is this? Why I got this temper? Mainly you got that tear because something else is going on in your life. See, the sins that we reveal are just the tip of the iceberg. That's why we need to really get involved with ourselves and present ourselves before God and say, God, see if there's some unclean way in me and cleanse me from my sin. Now, are you courageous enough to do that? That is what's hard for us. It's not that God didn't already know it, but are we willing to bring ourselves before him in that way? And that's what a combat mentality does. See, this verse is talking about trusting God, God's faithfulness. But it's also understanding that it's acknowledging our sin. And how are we going to do that if we don't confess something? See? How are we? Be thankful that God has revealed us that in our lives. And then secondly, I thought about the redemptive confession. Combat readiness, combat redemption, that was my second point, of how Christ, you see, the thing about being serious about our lives with God and the purity of our lives and to be holy is not that so we go get some feather in our cap or that we can be saved, but it's because Christ died for us. Do you think that God is going to just give us some little Band-Aid to fix our sin, just a minor covering of our sins, you know, some sort of religious facade, just get me baptism, or just do this, that, I mean, just whatever. No, because it cost God his son dying on the cross for you and my sins to be forgiven. See, God's redemption really is a combative effort it's always been a fight, and it's really a fight between Satan and God. It's been like that from Genesis, from creation. I mean the devil's always been trying to kill Jesus. I mean, the firstborn, you take Moses when he came, right on, Isaac, and then all those, and birth of Christ. That's is still going on. Enmity between the serpent and the woman. Then that's what was prophesied in Genesis 3. That's redemption, but it is a struggle. It is what Christ did for us. And it should mean something to us in that way, that there is a cause, and that his blood has not only covered our sin, it has cured it. So why in the world are we going to let sin control us? And by the way, if you're not controlling your sin will control you. Now, you can make up things you want and make excuses about it if you want, but it won't work, not long. I mean, we need to get real with our own selves before God. And that's what confession does. I mean, you don't come before God and just try to make up something. You just say, God, this is how it is. I need you so much. I am so weak and undone. So there's a redemptive confession, a combat redemption that we need to see. But then there's also, and I'll try to be brief, a combat righteousness. So that when you confess our sins, when we confess our sins, it gives us a righteousness. And what I mean by that is, it's the righteousness that Christ imputed to us. But a person that has unconfessed sin, that is living an impure life, is going to be afraid of everything. I mean, the scriptures, Proverbs, what does it say? It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. If you, where you are with God, you're not going to have to worry about where your marriage is going to make it. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen, where the cancer is going to come back. I mean, what I'm saying is that is a mentality that we need to understand and bless God in, that it is a righteousness that comes from God. And that's what happened to Jacob. I mean, he understood that he was Jacob, but when his name was changed, his nature was changed, and he became Israel, he had power. Now, where did that come from? It come from God. And that's how it is with us. When we see in our weakness the great need that we have in Christ, that we have power, and we don't know where it comes from. It comes from God. And that is the righteousness that we have in Christ. It's not our good works. It is the works that Christ has wrought in us. And the fact that we're confessing is working out what God has already worked in our lives. And Jacob sees that and he just clings. He says, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. You know, I wonder how tenacious we are about God in that. You know what the greatest blessing of God is? It's His presence. It's His forgiveness. It's not something that He's going to give us or some advancement in life. No. Oftentimes He takes things away just for the very purpose of understanding that we have God and that's all we need. And what peace and joy that comes from that. My goodness, what a blessing it is to rejoice in that and thank God for His grace and mercy. Well, it changed Jacob. But the two natures still come out, and it comes out in us. That is the battle that we have in our sins. See, because it starts with the mind. Did you know? I know you do. Spiritual warfare. It starts in the mind. And that's how we need to be attuned to God's Word. We need to chew on God's Word every day. I mean, David says, how can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed unto thy Word? Are we doing that, okay? In our minds, and to fill our minds. See, sin begins by what you think about, okay? What are you thinking about? If I tell you to think of the letter or the number 7, think about it. And then I say, well, stop thinking about number 7. You can't stop, can you? But if I say, think about your mother's chicken and dumplings that you're about to get, then it's going to, you don't think about 7 anymore. So what you do, you put away those thoughts. See, you're going to have them because we still have that Jacob in us. We do. We have that same kind of scheming, that same kind of selfishness that Jacob had, but it shrunk. It's not eradicated, but it shrank. But the light is coming as the daybreak. God blessed him there. And what I want to say to you before you go is God will bless you right there. That's what the scripture says. And he blessed him there. Now, the thing is, if you and I are serious with God, and we ought to be, because I guarantee you God is serious with us. He died for your very soul. And you got to know that you need and I need to keep it up as far as to maintain our fellowship with Him by confessing Him. And Jesus did say, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10 says that. It's in the Bible. Are we doing that in our lives? May the Lord bless us to quit running and to quit chasing the dollar and everything else and the pleasures of life and say, Lord, I come to you. You know, Jesus' last recorded words on the cross was, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's talking to his Father, Heavenly Father. And a Roman soldier in the next verse, I was reading that this morning, never noticed it before, said, surely this man is a son of God. This is a righteous man. That's what righteousness does. That is combat. Now, did Jesus feel like dying on the cross? Heavenly, no. That's not how he prayed. He asked people to pray for him. Are we asking people to pray for us? Jesus told his disciples, pray, and I'll be back in a hour, and they all went to sleep. You remember that, don't you? We need prayer. We need corporate prayer for one another. Well, may the Lord bless us to understand the merit of having a spiritual combat mentality, if you can say it. Because I don't think we're going to make it being fuzzy with God. I don't think we're just going to slide around being slick and trying to make up. I think we're going to have to just get honest with God. And when we really get honest, we won't be lazy anymore. We won't have to put ons. We'll just come up before Jesus and just cling to Him, and He will bless us and give us strength and power we never knew we had. Thing is, do we want that? Or are we kind of satisfied with things in our life? Now, you may have already gotten to this point. Thank God for it, but appreciate Him even more. But I tell you what, down where I live, especially in the summertime, railroad bed road gets lots of ruts. And you can get those ruts, and they just keep getting deeper and deeper. And I believe a Christian's life can be like that. You don't intend to do anything wrong necessarily, but just like driving that interstate, you're just so used to everything so easy and smooth that it never occurred to you that you're in a rut. I'm going to tell you, may the Lord bless us to know that we have the victory in Christ, and that we need to live for Him who died for us in every aspect of our life. But we need to hunker down. We do. We need to get to that point in our lives where we are prayer mode. That is combat ready. Prayer, okay? Where we understand we're going to face these temptations. They're not going to be taken away. You're going to have them before you get home today. You hear me? You are. In your mind, you're going to have them. And you can't go by your feelings. Do not go by your feelings. If you go by your feelings, well, Proverbs says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof leads to destruction. You know what that really means? There's ways that we see in our life that look pretty good, but the results is hell. Isn't that amazing? That's what it is. That's how the devil likes to present it. May the Lord bless us to rejoice that God has wrestled with us. Is He on you? Is He riding you? You know, He rode a donkey one time. Never been rode before. And that's what Jesus can do. He can calm us. He's breaking us. The struggles that we have is for a purpose. And God would not have it any other way. That is His way of making sure that every child of God, every elect child of God, will in fact confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That's how God does it. Well, we don't have to worry about somebody not doing it and missing heaven. Nor do we have to worry about some person that is an Arminian sneaking into heaven that's not elect. You don't have to worry about that. God is in control of that. What we need to do is go ahead and enjoy the goodness and grace that He's given us to live for Him and thank Him for our problems more than we do. They're more beneficial than we can ever imagine. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time You've given us to rejoice in Thy Word. Thank You, Lord, for the struggles we face. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a worthy fight song, so to speak, that You love us and that we, Lord, have been redeemed by Your mercy and grace. We thank You, Lord, for not leaving us like we were, for changing our names, and we'll have those in heaven as well one day. We just thank You, Lord, that You didn't leave us the way You found us, but that You changed us, albeit the struggles it took. Guilt, Lord, is so heavy, and it weighs us down. But we know, Lord, the remedy for it all is in Christ, and we thank You for the freedom that we have by the cross. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You, Lord. Help us to be more serious in our walk with You, more loving to You and one another, as we appreciate the righteousness of Christ, that You would give us boldness and courage to face our wonderful fears of grace, O Lord. Thank You, Lord, that Your merit has been given to us, and nothing we can do can demerit that grace. Accept our thanks, Lord, for Your amazing mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.